Dallas was warning.
It's 5:30, I'll call the meeting to order. First item is pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Anyone desiring to view the Open Meetings Act may do so. The document is available for public inspection and is located on the table in council chambers as well as on the City of Wayne website. The City Council may go into closed session to discuss certain agenda items to protect the public interest or to prevent the needless injury to the reputation of an individual and if such individual has not requested a public hearing. Item number 3 is approval of the minutes, July 7th, 2025.
Move on to approve the minutes.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Roll call.
This is painful, painful. One more?
No, we have 7.
Good.
And the minutes are approved. Item number 4 is approval of the claims.
So moved.
Second. I abstain due to personal interest on behalf of Abby Shannon.
Do you abstain from all of the claims or just one claim?
Just the ones?
Yeah, you can just abstain from that one.
Okay, I will abstain from that one claim in that case.
Okay, motion and a second with an abstention on the Abby Shannon claim. Roll call. And the claims are approved.
Move that around if you want.
Do I need to see it? I can just wait for additional there.
Sure. How about that?
All right. Thank you. Item number 5, action on the request of the Wayne Baseball Association to close North Windham Street between 3rd and 4th Street during the Class B Area 5 Senior Legion Baseball Tournaments from Friday, July 25th, 2025 through Tuesday, July 29th, 2025. Tim Reinhardt. There you are.
Okay.
I can barely see him. Yeah. You know I love that podium. It's my favorite.
So thanks for hearing us. Tim Reinhardt here on behalf of Wayne Baseball Association. Just requesting maybe not even closing North Windham, but having a barricade that really slow down traffic on that street. Point of emphasis is safety for kids chasing foul balls. This isn't a state tournament, so the teams are really local, so they won't be staying overnight or you know, going to extra games, so the crowds won't be as big, but that's for North Windham. Closing it, really slowing traffic down 4th Street between, I don't know what the streets are, on either side of Windham a block, somehow trying to slow down traffic. I know you can't close that street, but Wes and I talked earlier, maybe just a simple traffic cone on the curb
in the terrace people's eye. To show people that
or one of those little safety
something's going on.
Those are our two basic requests, and it's for the safety of basically the kids chasing foul balls. Wes brought up that parking on north side of 4th Street, kids aren't going 100 miles an hour when they're coming back, so there's always that chance, but hopefully they're not sprinting out into traffic. So that's what we're asking, and like I said, I appreciate you guys listening to us and on short notice. Thank you.
Tim, I like the idea of closing Windham Street between 3rd and 4th up to the intersection. And I like the idea of some kind of a cone. I like both of those ideas. Would there be then no parking then on Windham Street between 3rd and 4th?
That would be the request. Obviously there's apartments there.
They have to be able to get in.
They have to be able to get in there as people live there.
Yeah.
And I don't want to upset their normal flow of life. So if there's just one barricade, you guys have done this before in the past, and I haven't really paid attention to that, but if there's just one barricade in the middle of the street so traffic can get around, fine.
Marlon, do you usually kick them to the south, those residents, or do they go north?
Past coming out?
Yeah. Do you let them go north on 4th?
They usually go north.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah. Closest route for them.
Okay.
remember right, there's usually the barrier has a road closed sign on it, and they can still go around if they're residents, I think. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And also the handicap parking for the, for the people. We discussed that yesterday at our area meeting, like, there's got to be a way to get around, but.
Yeah. Do you have, a different topic a little bit, do you have any signage for the parking lot just to the east of Hank, so people know that they can go in there?
We don't, and that's a better parking lot than the one they use in Wright Field.
Yeah.
It's just the Wright Field lot gets full because it's closest, it's like line of sight. I brought that up yesterday to them, like, that's a better lot. It just seems farther away. And we do not have a sign. I can send an email to all the teams and with an aerial map and.
We can look and see if we have we have no parking signs, but we have parking signs.
Or maybe just like a little yard sign stuck to say parking.
We could laminate something and make it visible that parking is allowed or encouraged there.
And I guess that would be, in addition, that Wright Field lot, and I could have just talked to one of the city workers, but if we could put up a barricade, just like a rope caution tape around that pond. I know when it gets dark, it doesn't matter, but.
I've always thought about that too.
You can't see it, that would be me.
But, like I said, that's not the real reason I'm here, but it's.
Yeah. No, I like the idea of closing off that street. I think it just makes it more pedestrian friendly. There's a lot of families walking to and from their cars there, and just, I think it's a great idea. We've done that in the past.
Right. Yeah. And we don't plan to have any vendors or anything on the street. Like I said, this isn't a state tournament, but we want to put on a good show so we can get one.
Yes.
That's kind of our goal.
I agree.
Do we still have the portable speed bumps? Because I know we've used them on Oak Drive, I think, wasn't it, during County Fair when you're Marlin?
Oak, we did, yeah, I remember that.
I've never used them, I don't know if they still have them.
Okay, the street department?
No, Jill's not here.
So, the street department would have them if we have them still, Marlin?
I would say.
Okay. I do like the idea of the speed bumps there.
You mean like throwing them up on Fourth Street?
Yeah, on Fourth Street, you know, like where Tim said, an example on the alley. You know, because you're not going to restrict parking on that north side of the street.
Right.
But there is going to be through traffic on whatever street is left there. I think it would help greatly. So maybe we can direct city staff to look into that. And I'm sure we have them somewhere. Just trying to locate them. More than just a cone. And I see a cone. It's like, oh, it still may catch some people's eyes. But after you go through it three or four times, people may not really care.
That would be great if there could be a speed bump.
Yeah, will the Baseball Association put out the barricades?
That was my next comment, was yes.
You can keep them there in your storage.
Yeah, we just pull them off.
We put them onto the right of way, and then you put them, you close them off when you need.
On the west side of the sidewalk on Wyndham, or would you like them up against the fence? I guess that would be, where do you want them?
Are they on the base?
Yeah, wherever we put them, just put them back there when you're done with them.
Okay.
Then you can barricade it off how you want.
Okay.
That way you can put them up when the game starts. You don't have to wait for city staff, and we don't.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that should be easy enough. An hour before game time, is that okay? So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, our games are 1, 4, and 7.
If you think 1 hour is early enough, because I know some teams may show up an hour and a half early. I mean, it all depends.
Yeah.
Like, who's the farthest team that's coming? Is it O'Neill, maybe? Or?
David City, North Bend.
Okay.
So Columbus.
Okay.
I don't think it really matters. Even 2 hours before.
2 hours before is fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's up to you.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want, like
within
I said,
reason. But.
More concerned about the people that live on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard that's been an issue before.
As long as, well, whoever puts them on, as long as there's enough room for a vehicle to get through.
Yeah.
And, you know, this isn't our first rodeo. We've done this before, and it seems like they've always been able to get to their parking spot or wherever they needed. So, just be mindful of that.
Just be one barricade on each end? Is that?
I don't know. How long are they, Marlon? Maybe 12 feet or so?
Most of them are like for 12, 10 to 12.
Yeah, and most city streets with 27 feet, they're about 27 or they're 30.
I think in years past, when they closed it off, they had one barricade and a cone setting beside it so that somebody couldn't move that cone.
Yeah.
Both for tenants that live there and also for emergency staff if they have to get through.
Yeah.
I'll move to approve the action on the request to the Wayne Baseball Association to close North Wyndham Street between Third and Fourth Street during Class B Area 5 Senior Legion Baseball Tournament, Friday, July 25th, through Tuesday, July 29th. If we can find speed bumps, for Fourth Street, let's include that too.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion?
Chief, do you want a heads up when they put those out?
No, we'll have pretty rough estimate anyway on your timeframe. So it's gonna be all 3 days.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday will be 1, 4, and 7. Monday will be 4 and 7. Tuesday could just be 4. Four and 7.
No, I think we'll be fine.
Oh, roll call. Do we roll?
She hasn't told me yet.
Okay. And the motion was approved unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Item number 6, action on the request of Mike Pawicki, Director of Athletics at Wayne State College, to have fireworks displays on the following dates. Thursday, August 28th, football versus UNK, before and during the game when the team takes the field and after scores. That could be a lot. Saturday, September 6th, football versus UMary, family weekend post-game fireworks show, as well as some pre-game and in-game fireworks. Mike, tell us all about this.
Mike Pawicki, 1223 Providence. I would have written that better had I known you were going to read it word for word, Jill.
Is that University of
Mary? Mary, that's right, just the whole thing. But annual request to do our family day fireworks display. That would be the September 6th game. Typical, I've requested before, pre-game, in-game, more robust post-game complete show. A little addition this year, playing Kearney as our home opener. Just want to try to add to the theatrics. So gonna, again, partner with Premier Pyrotechnics just to do kind of pre-game and yes, some in-game stuff after scores. So yes, hopefully a lot of in-game fireworks. But no post-game show. Aside from, could they fire up a couple of what might be left over? Certainly, but not the full-fledged, whatever, 10-minute show they normally do. So, but we'll work in contract with Premier Pyrotechnics like we always have. We'll make sure to get clearance from fire department to make sure we're safe to shoot and all the things we've done in the past.
Thanks, too. I'm sorry. I was just gonna talk to Phil. Phil's good with everything, just, you know, weather permitted.
Yeah.
Then he asked about homecoming. Is that not?
We don't do anything.
No, you don't? Okay. He just asked about that, so.
Move to approve the request for fireworks on Thursday, August 28th, and Saturday, September 6th for Wayne State College Athletics.
We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Roll call.
Can you stop?
Thanks, everyone.
And the motion approved. Thanks, Mike. Item number 7 is a public hearing for the redevelopment plan for the Seabady Fourplex Apartments Development Project. Advertised time is 5:30 p.m. Tell us all about it.
Okay.
Oh, I have to open it. The public hearing is open.
Yes, you did. So this is redevelopment plan for Chad Seabady. I can give you kind of a map of where things are at and to show you a little bit here. So you're hearing this after the Planning Commission has heard it, as well as the CRA has heard it actually three times. It's going to give you a kind of picture of it. It didn't show up real great in the packet, so I sent it out to you, and then we republished in the packet as well to kind of show you what stuff would look like. I'm asking for $40,000 worth of TIF. Actually, I believe Chad asked for 70-something. Mike Bacon then takes a look at it, and Mike said that won't pencil out, and so Mike says the most you can get out of it is $40,000. So that can be used for demolition, site acquisition, and other sidewalks and things like that. So this is what I sent you, just kind of take a look at some some things here. This would face Nebraska Street. That's what would face Nebraska Street, so. Questions on that before Chad wants to talk a little bit about the project? I would encourage him to.
Is there gonna be any improvement to the alley?
Improvement to the alley?
Just looking at the aerial view of it, that looks like it could be a considerably muddy alley, and if you're gonna add possibly.
My bearing straight here.
Six to ten people extra living there. My aerial view's different than yours.
You gotta treat it the same as every other alley in town. You can't force someone to pave it, when they force others to pave it theirs. So, correct me if I'm wrong, city base half, first rock, is that correct?
For improvements?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there's some cost sharing that the city does with rock.
If the homeowners petition the city for rock, yes, that's how we handle that. But general maintenance, I mean, we'll go through and grade and like anything else, so.
I just, you know, like I said, the aerial view I'm looking at, it looks rather muddy, and I figured if you added that much more, yours looks better than mine.
My filter's on.
All I can say is it's no more muddy than any of the other alleys in that area. It's blocked away from my house. It's, you know, it's the same, so.
Back to, where was I? He's gonna have four units, three two-beds, one four-bed. The four-bed would be the one, facing the street, so. I think your value's gonna go from about eighty-some thousand of assessed value to over 300 when it's all said and done.
Sharon C. Beatty, 402 East 4th Street.
Sharon C. Beatty, same.
So, we're just taking a dilapidated house and gonna make a nice apartment, it's just two bedrooms and one four-bedroom.
Chad, what does the place look like on the inside? I've only seen the outside.
Hot water heaters in the bathroom, and the washing machine's in the bathroom. And it only has one bathroom, and there's no basement besides where the furnace is.
Oh, so is it a slab on grade?
No, it has a little basement, just a little basement. But the, like I said, the washing machine and the hot water heater are in the bathroom. And there's only one bathroom on the main floor. We just didn't wanna put money into a remodel.
Structurally, it's.
Average. When David costs a lot of money to make it up.
Yeah. And right now, how many people are renting that house?
Well, there was four, but now there's nobody.
And with this new plan, you could have, how many people, if it was?
Six and four. And we have adequate parking.
Meets our code.
Yep, Joel's already looked at all of it.
Kind of a timeframe, aren't we looking at, Chad?
Starting in September and being done in April 15th.
Quick.
Yeah, and we can be done sooner, but I don't know. I have a lot of work to do too, a lot of other stuff, so I gotta, once I get the approval from you guys, or, you know, I can get started. I've already have, they did the asbestos abandonment today, so. Was only in the windows, the glazing on the windows. But winter is coming. It's not very far away, as it scares me. With all this rain we had, we're way behind. But, yeah, anything from Cherry?
We just have a lot of inquiries for two bedrooms. Just, we normally run four bedroom house or apartments, and a lot of people just look for a two-bedroom because they prefer not to deal with two roommates. They just want more privacy.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, couples want their own privacy, so we have issues with that this year. And we do have a laser apartment, but we don't have enough two-bedrooms. That's why we came to an idea. It's just a potential house. It's not worth the fix.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a four-bedroom in the front. We'd almost consider making it a two-bedroom, but then we'd lose two bedrooms. Maybe we just put three people in there, I don't know, you know, because it's hard to find four people to get along with three other people, you know, so.
I like the way it looks, so when you see it from the front, it just looks like this little house, but then it kind of extends back and use the alleyway. I think you're using the property very well. It looks nice.
Looks like it would fit into a residential area.
Yeah, it's not tall. I know in years past, the architectural committee, a couple requirements that they had was to have the front door facing the front, which you do, and to have a covered front entry. It was kind of important, so it kind of looks like a house, not just a little box, but, and you have that, so, yeah, it looks nice.
In full disclosure, the architectural review committee has not met on this. They haven't met for the last couple projects we've done. A couple of last projects, we've had actual architects design the projects, but, so it's something that we need to probably have a discussion on. Do you want to get back to every public dollar should have the architectural review committee take a look at it before, just check that box saying, yes, we approve of it. So, I mean, that's.
I think that's a good idea, you know, especially if changes are made, you know, you don't go with the rock that looks nice, but I agree, the curb appeal on this is really nice, just like the Nebraska Street one. I know that the committee with the Nebraska Street one, we had encouraged our stipulation for trees. Are you going to do that again with this one? Or is the setup conducive to some trees?
Yeah, we can, yeah.
Yeah. I know that we did that with that one too, so.
Are you going to level, so there's a couple trees out front now?
No, they're going to go.
They're going to go, okay.
Yeah, they're not going to stay. We'd start over with trees.
Yeah, I thought about it. I would like to get the architectural committee involved on any project that we do TIF or LB 840. However, on this one, rather than slow them down with that, I feel like it has met everything that we used to look for. The front, the door facing front, the covered entry, and it's not a massive two-three-story building here. It fits well into the neighborhood. So I feel comfortable thinking that the architectural committee would approve of this.
I agree.
We should get that back rolling again, though.
And I can still meet with Jill if we need to change colors, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not.
I'm your color person, so we do work together.
So I mean, I'll still, you know, talk to you about before I know the color.
And two of the three committee members are on council, so Andy Hazlitt, the other one, Jason and Jill.
Which ones?
Jason.
Jason and Jill.
And Jill?
And then Andy Hazlitt is.
Andy Hazlitt from the college.
He's not here?
No, he's on a council member.
Oh, two, okay, yeah, okay. You guys have any more questions or?
I don't think so.
Would anybody else from the public like to speak at this public hearing?
Thank you, guys.
There being none, I will close the public hearing. Item number eight, resolution 2025-42, approving the redevelopment plan for the C-Beatty fourplex apartments redevelopment project. The one we just talked about.
Introduce resolution 2025-42, move for approval.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call. And the motion has passed. Thank you. Item number nine is a public hearing regarding the submittal of a grant application for the purchase of a 7-passenger non-ADA minivan, advertised time is 5:30. I'll open the public hearing.
Hello. It's for the Wayne City Transit, not the Wayne Senior Center. So just kind of making that thing.
I see that.
We've been having this in the budget for the last about 5 years.
Been a while.
The Department of Roads have not offered a 7-passenger minivan. It's always been our bus. The wheelchair van, which we already have, and then transit vehicles, which are 9 passengers. We feel that the 7-passenger is better for what we need for our population. The elderly just can't get into transit at all. They finally put it in the portal for me to apply for it. Wes and I were discussing, the last time we purchased a van was our 2018. This 2008 is ready to go. and we do need to have it replaced. We use it a lot during the school years. So they finally let this be available for us. We were just noticing, and I have a call into Department of Roads. Last time we purchased a vehicle, it was 80-10-10, which is 80 federal, 10 state, 10 the city. This time is 80-20. There's no state involvement. Tried to call the Department of Roads. They have not called me back. Why that is, but not really sure. But that's when I apply for it. This is basically what the formula is, which I can show. This is when I did the application. We purchase 988, which is one, and it goes up the formula.
I'm wondering if it was an 88.
And I didn't punch
vehicle.
The ADA and see
yeah,
if that would change the formula.
Yeah, it may go 80-10-10,
but
we are in the need of one.
That.
Yeah,
we have the 14-passenger bus, which carries two wheelchairs, and then we have what's called the 2012 Lowboy, which carries one wheelchair.
And in 18, what did we buy in 18?
2018 Dodge.
Yeah, the Dodge.
Yeah.
Okay, and was that wasn't handicapped though?
No. And that was the last time they offered that, but I'm jumping on it now because there's 163 of them have already been spoken for. That's to see who gets it. I don't know, so I want to get my application in as soon as possible so we can replace the 2008 Chevy, which then we can sell and the funds goes back to the city.
It won't
don't
be
$9,600. Don't know how much you're going to get, but
no.
Unless they like the rust.
It doesn't have a lot of mileage on it, but it's a lot of wear.
How soon? Well, you're just applying for the grant.
Don't know.
So we don't know.
It took me 2 years to get the bus.
Okay. So we need to get this going quickly.
Yeah. Just trying to get
in
with the application first.
Yeah.
Before everybody else does.
Makes sense.
Good idea.
Any questions on that? Still a pretty good deal. Mm-hmm. Under 10,000 that we have to do.
Yeah. I agree. Anyone else wishing to speak at this public hearing? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. Item number 10, Resolution 2025-43, authorizing the city administrator to apply for Nebraska Public Transportation Act funds for the purchase of a 7-passenger non-ADA minivan.
I'll introduce Resolution 2025-43 and move for approval.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any more discussion? Roll call.
Stop.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The resolution
has
passed.
Well,
thanks,
did you
Anne.
Want your sheet back?
Yeah. Item number 11 is Resolution 2025-44, approving letter agreement amendment number 1 on the Wayne Prairie Park Phase 4 East Ditch Storm Sewer Project.
Jordan Utesh with Olson, just come to you to present this letter agreement amendment number 1 for the East Ditch Storm Sewer Project contract. So this will be an amendment to that contract for $25,000 for construction staking services for the 4th Street Storm Sewer, the East Ditch Storm Sewer, as well as the Roundabout Parks and Rec paving project. So both projects combined with this.
So sometimes you'll hire an engineer to do everything from start to finish. You know, this has been multiple phases, so we'll hire him to do this phase or this portion of it. And then for this example, for phase 4, we hired Olson to do all of phase 4 design, design and bid.
Yes, correct.
Design bidding, that's probably the two,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And then if you want oversight on projects, then you would enter into other agreements. For this one, for example, staking is something we cannot, I mean, you could say we can oversee most things, but staking we cannot. And what part of this is the staking, do you think?
Like dollar-wise?
Yeah, no, percentage.
I would say half, probably.
Half or so.
Yeah.
So then everything runs through them with, if there's change orders, pay requests, things like that, they'll handle that. I never like paying engineers, but it's it's a necessary thing to do. And they do a very good job. Jordan has kind of taken this over from Matthew and is leading the charge on it with Taylor Kuby as well. I would mention that I just had an email conversation with Taylor on, if you remember, we have a credit with Olson. And so I'm not sure if I made Jordan and Taylor aware of that. So
Yeah. I actually mentioned Taylor, when we first submitted
first started. Taylor just responded back that they'll start getting that into their port or their billing cycle.
Yep.
So I don't know if it'll be one big lump sum. That's $23,000. So
wouldn't pay for it pretty much however you guys want to see it.
Beth will be in the middle of that because this phase is actually coming out of the street fund and not out of our grant funds. So Beth will want to make sure that it doesn't come out of the grant funds, that it'll come out of the streets. So.
I introduce resolution 2025-44. Move for approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any more discussion? Roll call. Wait a minute, I need one more.
Sorry.
Stop. And the resolution has passed unanimously. Item number 12, action on certificate of payment number 1 in the amount of $69,427.98 to Robert Whaler and Sons Construction Incorporated for the Wayne Prairie Park Phase 4 East Ditch Storm Sewer Project.
It's not Taylor.
I was going to say, it's not Taylor.
So this is for the East Ditch Storm Sewer, installing the 60-inch storm sewer from 4th Street to the existing 60-inch that we installed.
Phase 1.
So almost 2 years ago.
Yeah, phase 1.
They've installed up to the first area inlet, so about 230 feet roughly. I talked to Chris today that they were pouring the floor of that, and then they'll start constructing the walls of that area inlet this coming week. It should take about 3 days to construct that.
How many feet did you say, Jordan?
I think it was like 230 roughly.
Okay, so there.
Yeah. So they've got that installed. The majority of the payout of the $68,000 of it is for material stored, so all the 60-inch pipe. It's quite a bit of the project cost, or the payout cost.
And 10% retainage.
Correct.
Held back.
Yep.
I did field a question from a citizen of Wayne. They observed Whaler's removing a chunk of the drainage storm sewer. And I spoke with Jordan last week about it, and he said that the end of it had settled approximately a foot, he said?
Yeah, so when Penrow installed the 60-inch storm sewer, they built the last box, stubbed 3 feet out with the 60-inch pipe, is what they had the remaining cut off. Then they had one full stick of 20-foot 60-inch pipe. They installed that 20-foot stick of pipe, and that was the pipe that settled. I mean, the pipe sat over all winter due to the freeze-thaw cycle, and with the amount of rain we've got this fall or this spring already, I mean, it's likely that that settled due to that. And I know that the city staff, they installed that, I think, a 15-inch pipe to...
Yeah, we did something to cut it off.
Yeah, to help reduce. So when Penrow installed it, they installed that 60-inch pipe, and they capped it with plywood so that they could just pull that out.
Well, at that point, we hadn't gotten cleared from...
Correct.
From
the core. To allow...
Because we didn't know if we were going to be able to enclose it or not.
So they had capped it with nothing to allow, for no water to allow to flow through there. And then when we did get the permit from the core, city staff installed a 15-inch pipe through that plywood to allow that wetland to kind of drain off and not overflow into... the rugby field or the field next to it. So I mean, it's likely that water with not a proper seal, that water ran down the plywood, easily got underneath the pipe and shifted it over winter and this spring. So do you have any
concerns going forward on that, with that?
No, Whalers reinstalled it because it sank 9 inches. So they just pulled that pipe out, re-leveled it, They're likely going to ask for a change order for that, but it will be pretty minor in the grand scheme of things. I was just looking at the payout. They, for the 60-inch storm sewer, their unit price is $122. So that's the cost to install 60-inch pipe and for them to purchase it. So the material cost would get taken out of that. Even if they charge the full 122, which we wouldn't accept that anyways, it would be like $2,400 to install a brand new pipe. So I would imagine it's going to be under $2,000, so.
Did they keep the old, or did they?
They reinstalled what was in the ground.
There, okay, yep. So that's all back.
Yep.
I just wanted to mention that because we had talked about change orders. And since I was questioned about it, I just wanted to make sure that everyone was kind of well aware that.
I knew nothing about it, so thanks for bringing it up.
Need to know basis, yeah. I guess, Wes.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That there was, someone saw the removal.
Okay.
And they're questioning, is like, why are they removing a pipe that has already been installed? Mm-hmm. And that's why we had a conversation and just wanted to make sure that was.
Yeah. No. I mean, in a grand scheme of things, it could have been left, but there also would have been standing water in that pipe. And we just didn't want to give you a bad product and have standing water.
Long term, that was the right move.
Exactly.
Okay.
Make a motion to approve certificate of payment number one in the amount of $69,427.98 to Robert Whaler and Sons Construction for the Wayne Prairie Park Phase 4 East Ditch Storm Sewer Project.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Roll call.
Stop.
And the motion certificate of payment has been approved unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 13, Ordinance 2025-12, amending Wayne Municipal Code Title 15, Land Usage, Chapter 152, Zoning, Section 152.111, SFP Floodplain District.
So I'll take this.
Can you take this?
Jules having a tooth extracted. So nice. I give, that's his excuse at least. So floodplain, we've been working on floodplain since I think 2018 was the first conversation about this when they started hosting meetings over at the North Meeting Room of the auditorium. COVID hits, they resume meetings afterwards. It's been a very, very slow process. In the meantime, we've been in front of you a couple times. We've tried to get some things out of floodplain. If you remember, hired Olson to do some other studies. Joel and I met with the department early on because they had put, I believe, Dog Creek in twice the flow. So we got them to get that back out just once. So that did decrease some. And so now the map is ready to go. They've had their period of time to dispute and all that kind of stuff. And so this needs to be implemented by September 5th. So we kind of set it up that you could have this meeting and then you could have two meetings in August to also go through it if there's any, you can't really make changes to it. Why would you do this, right? Well, the National Flood Insurance, and Parker, you can probably speak to this way better than I can. To be a member of that, you have to have a floodplain and you have to have, to be administering the floodplain. So the main changes, talk a little bit about South Logan area has stayed the same, maybe increased somewhat. The north area has diminished. Their mapping is, if you just Google floodplain, Nebraska floodplain, and then there's an interactive map, new, that's what you click on. And this is your department now, isn't it, Austin? The DWE?
Yeah.
Department of Water, Energy, and Environment?
Yep.
So they will be, they're working through some changes to the websites and things like that, so it'll be, I'm sure, a new look. But so if community has questions, they can obviously always contact staff, or they can Google stuff just themselves like we do and get to that interactive map. So any questions on this? Obviously, Joel can go inside and out with all this stuff, but we thought since we had two more readings, you could always table it if you wanted to, but I suggest you passing it at the first reading and not waiving anything and let it go its course, and then Joel can comment next time, and if you have comments from the public and different things, so.
All I'll say is we definitely want to be part of the NFIP, so we better get this through by September 5th.
So what does that mean? I mean, you want to give an explanation a little bit about homeowners and how, if we aren't?
It's a whole thing. National Flood Insurance Program is effectively the, it's mostly federal flood insurance program that allows homeowners to purchase it if they're in a floodplain.
At reasonable rates, right?
At reasonable rates.
Because you can still do it, but it's an elevated rate.
Yes, yeah, it's still technically possible to do it if you're not part of that program, but it becomes, frankly, it becomes so prohibitively expensive that you're probably better off just self-insuring at that point if you're not part of the program. It's probably costs you more to insure it if you're outside of that program than it would just to rebuild the thing. It's pretty bad. So it's, flood insurance is expensive anyway, but it's a lot better if you're part of the NFIP.
You still want to encourage people never to build in the floodplain,
yeah.
But if they do, this is a program that you can go through.
Yep.
So, and like I said, I'm sorry, Joel would have a lot better handle on things and be able to talk the talk way better than I can. He is your floodplain administrator. I am not.
He is very knowledgeable on that. So I recommend we approve this first round of the ordinance.
Do not waive, or I do not recommend waiving.
I'll introduce ordinance 2025-12. Move for approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any more discussion? Roll call. And the ordinance first round has passed. Okay, item number 14, resolution 2025-40, establishing City of Wayne goals. This was tabled from the last meeting. I appreciate you tabling it. I heard the big item was, where's it at? Auditorium, the apartment renovation. You wanted to pass everything except my apartment, so I appreciate you waiting. I just want to point out, I'd like to keep, apparently everything else was okay. I'd like to keep the auditorium renovation on apartment renovation. It is a long-term goal. I think it is an asset that we have. I also believe that as, doesn't mean we're doing anything now or next year. But if we keep it on there as a long-term goal, if something were to come up, there was a grant available for downtown housing. If one of those air handling units went out, then it's noted that sometime we want to renovate that as an apartment or as an Airbnb or as a bridal suite. We want to do something with that space. Air handling unit goes out, we're probably not going to put it back in the same spot. We're going to look for a different location. It's an asset. I don't think we should just throw it out there. Is something going to happen in the next year? I don't know. Probably not. But we can at least start, keep it on there to start looking at that. I believe that we should encourage downtown housing development. We have some buildings downtown that have an opportunity for an apartment above. I would like to encourage that again. Maybe if some grants become available, we could be a part of that. So I'd recommend to keep it on.
So I haven't physically been there, but I've seen photos. The city owns it. It has to be ADA accessible, right?
So you know, on the architect, we had the fire marshal come through because that was our big concern.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he would just tear everything apart. And now every fire marshal is going to be a little different. But the one we had, was that Robert?
Robert, yeah.
When he came up there, he had one issue, and that was a door about this big that goes underneath.
Yeah.
What's that? An access?
Yeah.
He said that would have to be fire rated, or that would have to be a different door in there.
Just like a little thin.
You're not concerned
door.
About
a little, yeah.
The stairwell being, you know, very narrow. He had no concerns other than that one doorway.
No.
Which, again, if you had another fire marshal come up there, they may have something totally different. But because that would have, I mean. He could have shut it completely down that way. But since he said that, I was like, oh, there's still an opportunity here, at least. So I don't know if that answers the question or not.
I guess it's not deteriorating anymore. I mean, it's not leaking because the rest of the building is solid. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, I would be okay with keeping it on. I'm not a big fan of it, but... You know, you never know with redevelopment, you know, funds or grants or whatever. I just wouldn't want taxpayers to have to pay that amount to retrofit that place. But, yeah, it's not deteriorating anymore. I don't think it could. So I'm okay with that.
So the staff's not going to sneak something in on you in the budget process. You're going to have to, apply for a grant. You're going to have to accept the grant. You're going to have to accept an architect to design it. You're going to have to accept the contractor to do, I mean, so, yeah, we're not trying to do anything here other than keep it on as, keep talking about, or you can keep talking.
Doesn't hurt.
It probably does get, I mean, Luke and his office can, if they come across something and they say downtown housing, it might be something they look at a little more carefully if we have a property that we might have interest in. So, I don't know. And honestly, it may, if you had a couple of downtown areas that you could use it for, if you had a third, I'm saying above Welch's property, Peeper's law office has vacant space as well as the Eagles Club. Mm-hmm. You know, if you could throw in the city auditorium and having three properties that maybe a funder would look at versus just two, maybe you'd have a better scoring. I don't know. That's maybe wishful thinking, but that could help you in the long run. I don't know. But then you likely would have to do something with it if you're going to say, and maybe not. Maybe they'd say you'd have to come up with money on your own. You can only use it for, or you could say, we're not doing this. You can say that at that time.
Yeah, and what kind of grant funding are you hoping for? Because I know when we first talked about this, there's an estimate of like $200,000 being thrown around to revamp that area.
And the highest price was for the air handling units. When they remodeled the auditorium, they put air handling units up there. Those are for the north meeting room and the south meeting room. And that was in 2003. So that was kind of a big mistake. It kind of destroyed, you know, hindered the space and being like an easy remodel. Otherwise, it would have been an easy remodel. So if one of those units were to go out today, I would say, let's move that to a rooftop unit, something more efficient, because at some point, we could possibly renovate that apartment just into a space.
Minus the square footage that you would gain from moving the air handlers, there's no way to gain any other square footage in that.
No.
Is there any way to get rid of that step up in the middle that goes from the one side to the other?
No, that's a concrete. No.
So that's the in the lobby. The ceiling is coppered. So that's it. Yeah.
I think it's kind of a cool space. It is a unique space. That's for sure.
Large windows. I mean, it's a unique space. It is. I think it's kind of. So I went on a tour of downtown Hastings with the CRA, and it was just incredible what they had done with the second floor of those buildings and just the creativity that went into those. And they had some grants and some funding to help with that. And there's no reason to take it off, at least not that I can see. We're not spending money on it right now. I think we should keep it on there as just always having it on our radar.
We used it for book storage for a lot of years.
Oh.
So city staff would run up the steps.
That's awful.
To get books and bring them down and have the library sales, and then we'd have to bring them back up. We don't do that anymore. There's nothing up there. I mean, I think there might be a table up there and a lot of cobwebs and flies, you know.
Yeah.
So it's.
But it's neat because there's so many windows. There's windows on the south, all across the east, and on the north, and it's kind of a neat space. I have a key, so let me know if you want to see it.
I would agree keeping it on the list isn't hurting anything, but I would hope that there's some serious discussion before any kind of money is spent putting into that thing.
My fear with keeping it on the list is you've already disclosed that if there's something wrong with the air, you want to modify it to where that room's in mind. So we would pay whatever to have HVAC ran there, or thermometer, whatever, and we're slowly inching towards making that a livable space. And as far as grant money goes, I want to know what kind of grant you're looking for, because there's funding available for, you know, $50,000. So you want the city to front $150,000 of that remainder, or? I don't want a dime of taxpayer money going towards this.
Well, any kind of.
People I've talked to do not want this.
Any type of grant you get is gonna be taxpayer money. It's just gonna be a matter of whether it's local taxpayer or state or federal, yeah. So, but you would have to make a match. So can I answer the?
Go ahead.
So CDBG funds, there's downtown revitalization funds that you could request, right? I don't know where they're at with CDBG stuff right now, because my story is that we applied for one down at Prairie Park. We were turned down, and we went at it specifically for ADA compliance for trail connectivity, streets, things like that. And they told us that, well, that's, you're getting thrown out because more than just ADA clientele would use it. That totally defeats, I mean, that is very counterintuitive to me. So if they're going to use that as a criteria, maybe they just didn't like the project and that's how they threw it out. I don't know how we're ever going to get another grant for anything like that, because we're no longer a low to moderate income community. We used to be an LMI full, the entire community was LMI, so you could go anywhere in town. Now you'd have to do a survey and do a certain quadrant of town. Likely the southeast is usually where you can get eligibility on that. So and this is not in the southeast quadrant. You'd have to go for probably historic, because it's a historic building. There could be historic tax credits, some things like that. So CDBG would be tough, and that's downtown revitalization is through the CDBG program. So I'm not sure if there's any types of grants out there for that. Historic tax credits, if you go that side, a private investor could do something with it, but it's a publicly owned building. So then you'd have to look at, well, do you condo it out and say, we're gonna give somebody a 99-year lease, they're gonna put their money into it. So yeah, I don't know if that's a possibility or not, if anybody would be interested in something like that or not.
You know, I'm gonna agree with Jason. I don't see the need to remove it. And I can see where you're coming from as well, Austin. You know, I've never been a fan of that. And I think the mayor is aware of that as well. Doesn't hurt it, you know, being on the list. And we had one of our citizens reached out to both Austin and I, and I informed her that just because it's on the list doesn't mean we're looking at it, you know, in a short period of time. It may not ever happen. You know, when it comes to grants, first of all, like what the mayor said, well, as long as the air handling units are in operation, they're working good, nothing is probably going to be done with that space. And you know what, that could be 10, 15 years down the road, could have a completely different council. And you know, when you look at revitalizing a space, I look at what's about Johnny Bird, was it like the birdhouse or something?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who would have thought that that ever would have been Airbnb or,
yeah,
you know, rented for,
yeah,
something like that. So I don't want to feel like I would be closing the door on an idea to improve downtown. And it's like what Wes has said, when you start, you know, maybe if you start add this property and this property and this property, things may change when it comes to grants. And I agree. There's, you know, it's not free money. It comes from somewhere, from someone. You know, in the grand scheme of things, it comes from our pockets as well. So, but it's an item on the list. It doesn't cost us $1 to have that item on that list. So,
turn it into a bridal suite. It might not cost that much money if the rehandling units are moved.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, yeah, that's what that would turn into in the long term. And
then
you're just putting in an electrical
grant. You wouldn't be able to get grant money if it was,
you
just
could,
bridal
if you're
suite,
restoring.
It wouldn't be
like a historical
housing
building downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we're playing the what-if game.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can tell you, I have not looked into rehabbing that place.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's,
seems like it's not feasible until maybe some other mechanical gets moved.
I mean, like, this is like we readdress when one or both of those air handlers
are
out. Like,
yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah,
what's,
yeah,
the,
yeah,
point,
yeah,
until that?
Yeah.
Then we cross that bridge when it comes.
Yep.
I think it's no different than the new home for the library on the list. I can tell you, I love our library. Right where it's at. I don't agree with that. Are we today looking for a new home for the library? I don't know. Are we looking for?
I'm always looking for a new home for the library.
We've talked about space issues.
Yeah. Yes, we have.
On a totally unrelated thing. So last meeting, you had sent out the Keno fund saying use funds to repair the fence at the Bark Park. That's already been done, correct?
The repair, a new fence was not done. A repair was done.
Well, that's what, okay, so that one's on there, though, saying use funds to repair the fence at the Bark Park, and it's already been done?
If it is a temporary fix, maybe. I mean, that fence needs to be repaired, replaced at some point.
Okay.
But it doesn't have to be done today, and the issue we had was we had a dog, I don't know if it was just one, Amy, a dog got out and attacked another dog on the trail.
There was a hole in the fence on the, what are my directions, on the west, was it been the southwest side?
Yes.
Yeah, southwest side, and somebody else, was walking their dog on the trail. But the hole had gotten there, I don't think it was from lack of maintenance. I think it's because of the construction and just stuff that had been done. And so it got through there and attacked another dog.
Well, and that fence on the west side was the original fence for
the lagoon.
The lagoon as to where the rest of the Bark Park is all new fence. Yeah,
we just took the razor wire off the top and left the rest of the fence there. So eventually it will need to be replaced, but I had talked to Austin about this, and I'd rather take that, it was like $7,200 or something to replace. I'd rather not do that right now and put it something else into Prairie Park and just make the fix we needed. And so they did that right away. So, but it's still on there because it was something to talk about.
It's quite as tall as the other fence all the way around. I think there's a couple of low spots.
I remember it being the same height, but it's not something I specifically looked at.
Because the way the terrain goes, I think there was a couple of, I mean, it's not a significant height difference, but there's still, it's not all the same height.
Also on here, there's something, public transit update. Proceed with having a transportation study with Olson. Diane and I talked about this just the other day. Like, that's not happening. First of all, there's no funding to do anything with that right now. And so we can stay on there, knowing that you guys had a discussion on transit, and we need to keep looking at what our transit's going to look like in the future. So.
Introduce Resolution 2025-40. Move for approval.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Roll call.
Stop.
And the motion, the resolution is approved. Item number 15 is action on mayoral appointment of Mick Camp to the Community Redevelopment Authority. He will replace John Meyer. I want to publicly thank John Meyer for his 8 years. I think it's eight years on the CRA.
I move to approve the appointment of Mick Kemp to the CRA, replacing John Meyer.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Oh, sorry.
And the motion is approved. Item number 16. We are adjourned. Now.
Just under an hour.
You're welcome. Thank you for voting.
I told Steve I was like 1 hour tonight.
You're wrong.
59 minutes.
Thank you for voting on those things.
That's for the senior center. It's like a sign-in sheet for her.
Why do I need to say?
Because